been in the Navy?
I've been blaming life.
I'm Jamie Britt.
And I'm Heath Britt.
And together we are E14. We have 40 years of naval service.
And each week we discuss a potpourri of topics, which we like to call smoke pit topics.
These are real world topics that concern us, our marriage, and our Navy with a sailor twist.
So join us each week
as we dive into the deep end.
Booyah! Hey everyone, welcome back to E14 Podcast. I'm Jamie Britt.
And I'm Heath Britt.
And together we're E14. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of our own and not the United States Navy or our respective commands.
So take it or leave it. Welcome everybody back. Today we have with us Super Nuke, Navy Chief, Brian Essery. Brian, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, brother. So you're here to set the record straight, I hear.
Yeah. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. A lot of lies.
What kind of lies are we talking about?
Fail rate out of nuke school. We talking about mental health issues down there, how hard being a nuke is, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So for our listeners out there, let's talk about a little bit about what a nuke is or what we're saying here, because they may not be familiar with that term.
Please explain.
Okay, so it's no secret that the U.S. operates aircraft carriers and submarines on nuclear power. We've been doing that for a very, very long time, starting with the Nautilus and the first aircraft carrier, the Enterprise. Nukes are the people that operate it. They maintain it. They, split the atom and, move the ship through the water, all that kind of stuff. So it's very challenging work. It's not hard. Everything's in a book. But these are some very intelligent people. They get a crash course of nuclear power in about 2 years. They have a school where they learn the technical side. They have their power school where they learn the power plant side, so how fission works and everything like that. And then the hands-on, bring it all together, your technical and your theory side from power school at prototype. And yeah, those are some long days. But there's a lot of horror stories where, people throwing stuff up on Reddit where staff doesn't care. That could be the furthest thing from the truth.
I'm so glad you're here to talk about this, because currently our son is in nuke school.
Well, he's in A school. He had made
Well, he's in A nuke.
Oh, he gonna make it.
School. Yeah, nuke A school, and we hear all of the rumors too as parents, and it's concerning.
As a retired guy, I'm gonna tell you quick what I saw in the nuclear field, which I'm not a nuke. I was an electronics technician. We had something called the AECF, Advanced Electrical Computer Field, which was supposedly in the Navy the second hardest under nuke. Nuke was the hardest. AECF was supposedly the second. We had like a 60%.
He's laughing over there.
We had a 60% drop rate, but I'm not. Wait till I get finished, because we had the nukes that failed out of power school would come to our school.
The nuke waste.
The nuke waste is what we called them. But these guys would get in our school and I don't know. I think they took the test drunk. They were so good at it. They knew they aced everything, because compared to what they were going through, it was pre-K compared to what they were doing.
Don't belittle yourself like that. Not technical stuff.
Well, we do. It's just, we were conventional ETs are real ETs. Nukes are just operators. But I'm teasing. but. I thought it was a hard school, but they were very, very smart individuals. And there was a lot of them that dropped out, a lot of them. But that was in 1996. Things have changed since 96. So please enlighten us, Brian.
So I joined the Navy in 2006. So I was in A school in 2007. And, smoke pit rumors and everything like that about how hard things are and how horrible life is a real thing. I mean, you put a bunch of people anywhere, any sailor goes to the smoke pit, you're going to hear something terrible. Right. Like that's Navy wide. We like to live in a perpetual level of suck.
Yes.
I don't know why, but that
because even a bitching sailor is a happy sailor.
It's true.
Yeah. So like you heard from instructors about how it was down in Orlando. Why would you put nuke school in Orlando? That's the happiest place on earth. And you want somebody to cover, a year's worth of material in 6 months. Yeah. So I guess back in the day, 1990s, somewhere around there, you would have a high drop rate. Since they moved it to Charleston, not to say that there's not as much to do in Charleston, but Charleston's a little bit more self-contained. They put a lot of money into the actual physical structure down there at NNPTC, where sailors have a full-fledged hospital on base, like literally 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes, like maybe a five-minute walk from the school. They have, you know, actual up-to-date birthing capacity. So every sailor gets their own room. So they have privacy. So they have a place to unwind and focus. They've completely ripped out all of the Bowman Center, made a full-fledged gym with a cardio room, like a, you know, an MMA room, all kinds of crazy stuff where like sailors can go and, you know, PT and do all that. So there's a lot of infrastructure that they put into Charleston that I can't speak to that Orlando probably didn't have because it was built probably in the 70s. So, I mean, you think about Orlando, you got Orlando. It's the Magic Kingdom. They're going to go to Disney World. Exactly. You got somebody from Idaho. They're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. Hey, Saturday, should I study or should I go to the Magic Kingdom? Magic Kingdom, let's go.
I always tell my future sailors that are going into the nuclear field, like, imagine a college campus, self-contained, like a smaller version of a college campus. That's what Charleston is similar to.
And 100%. Like, it's got everything you need. Like, I use the term base and site because even about not even a 10-minute walk, you have a full-fledged next where you can go get everything that you need. Everything is there. So even a sailor that doesn't even have a car or means of transportation can actually have some kind of personal life. There's a dive bar. It's called the Dive. I don't recommend that for anybody under the age of 21, but somebody under 21 can go there, have like pizza, wings, whatever the case may be, and watch football. I did it all the time when I was down.
Wow.
So there are facilities in place for these sailors to go out and experience life.
And that's in North Charleston. And Charleston is not like a stranger to nuclear stuff because it used to be a sub base there back in the day.
Yeah, and the Naval Weapons Stations.
Right. I think one of my recruiters when I was joining the Navy came from there. He was on a submarine before he went recruiting duty. So they've had Navy there for years.
Right, right.
So I know we talked a little bit about the drop rate versus the 90s versus today, but what different things have they put in place in Nuke School that allows students to succeed?
So going back to 2007 when I was down there, like, you know, if you were dealing with something, because my dad had a heart attack during that time and I was in the middle of one of the courses in A School and I was like, holy, this is a lot. I'm trying to learn my job. I don't want to be a scumbag and fail out, but I need some help. And we had the chaplain, right? That was the Navy's answer for the longest time. Like, if you're going through something, go see the chaplain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now these are religious people. They're great and they can help you, but they're not fully in capacity to handle.
They're not counselors or trained in
right.
that capacity.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So when we went back there, I went down there just recently and I got to see all my chief buddies down there. I got to see all the people that, you know, haven't grown up yet. They haven't figured out what they want to do in their adult life yet. So I'm sitting there talking to them and they're like, they have military life coach. They have military life coaches. They have mental health specialists all down there in Charleston on the A School side. Same thing with the prototype side. And you're not isolated anymore. You're not there where it's like, hey, we don't have the resources to help you. I mean, in 2007, there wasn't really military one source was a thing, but it wasn't advertised. Hmm. Nobody in the Navy knew what military one source was.
That's even
grown in the last 16 years. If you think about it, it's
grown a lot because I remember never hearing about it and I actually used it a couple of times when I was a chief, senior chief.
Yeah. I've used the same thing. Like you, people, I think that the way that an article that was published out there about naval nuclear power, which it really got me, my own opinion, not the Navy's, not NR's, not Naval Reactor's opinion, my opinion, it really ticked me off.
Let's get into that because you came up to me at work and was like, I need to go on E14 podcast and it's because of this article. So what was the article that you're talking about?
It was talking about nukes and their mental health issues and the suicide rate.
Oh.
And it was, you know, one is too many. That's right. The Navy's policy. Like, I mean, That's my belief too. One life is too many lives. But we can't just say it's because of the program entirely. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't just say, like, we need to dig into people's lives. Mm. We need to dig into past treatment. And I mean, Jamie, you and I both know there's a thing called MHS Genesis that digs in, and people get consults for any previous, you know, things that have happened in their life.
Yeah. And so, and prior to this, you know, prior to Genesis coming about, which is in recruiting, it's just a deep look into your medical history. Prior to that, I mean, there was, I'm not saying me, I'm saying there were recruiters that were like, oh, you're dealing with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. Just don't say anything and you'll get in. So imagine the sailors that we have today who had previous stuff that we're not privy to.
Mm-hmm. And back then though, in the recruiting before Genesis came out, if you weren't a TRICARE dependent, nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody knew. So, I mean, it's just like anything else. If you have somebody that is talking to a recruiter and they cut a really high score on the ASVAB, which is extremely hard, even harder now than it was 10 years ago. The first thing they're going to do is talk about Nuke, especially for the Navy.
Yeah, right. Oh, because they tried it on me too, even in the 90s, but I was scared I was going to grow a third arm. So I told them to keep that shit.
Hey, I'm good too. I don't glow in the dark. I'm good. I mean, shoot. I mean, I could turn off the light if you want to see if I glow in the dark, but the sun's out. So yeah, I don't glow in the dark either.
This was Central Louisiana in the 90s. You know, we were. I was good at school, but as far as that goes, you know, I wasn't the smartest.
I grew up in Cleveland, so the education system wasn't that good back in the 90s either. So it's improved a lot. But the thing is, like, you probably had a lot of people with previous mental health conditions that went through the pipeline. And ever since, I mean, 07, I can only speak from 07 on, all the staff down there is trained with, you know, Safe Talk, all those different programs that we have to engage with the students. Every time they're in front of the students, and they're in front of the students a lot. And like A school, it's like a 1-on-20 ratio. Power school, it's a 1-on-20 ratio with most of the courses. And they're scanning these students to see, like, hey, Sailor X is looking a little disconnected. Sailor, you know, Y is, you know, not right. And they have staff advisors that help them through. Hey, maybe you need to go see the military life coach. Maybe right now you have something going on, and they address those issues.
Yeah.
And
previous mental health aside, previous issues with mental health aside, the type of sailor that goes to Nuke school is extremely smart. And a lot of them, and I've been recruiting for a while and recruiting nukes, a lot of them have never studied before. A lot of them have never failed a test before. And they get through college, you know, with breeze. And here they go into nuclear power school, and all of a sudden, they're not the greatest student that they were praised to be. So that's hard.
I think you hit a big point that I cover with all the nukes going to nuke school. And the command and everything like that is Nuke school is, I don't want to say it's an open book test, but it is not hard. It is challenging. It's going to require you to put in some work. I don't want to do that, but it's on the member to actually reach out for the help. They have something called night duty instructors down there 5 days a week. 5 days a week, you have somebody that's done it, that's master trainer specialist certified, to, you know, go in and give you additional assistance 3 hours a night. Where a lot of people that fall behind and they have a lot of issues is they're not going and taking that upon themselves to actually go and do it.
Yeah.
I was a 2.5 to stay alive in A school, right hand to God, is I literally struggled because I was too proud of a person to go and ask for self. I couldn't humble myself because I'm smart enough. I got pumped up from a recruiter that had no idea what a nuke did, because he told me we built nuclear warheads. I'm still waiting for that class.
Freaking BM2 is telling you everything.
Yeah, he's telling me this is great. You build warheads. I mean, I don't know what a nuke does, but this is what I think they do. And I was like, I'm 19 years old. I'm like, okay, this sounds good. Yeah. And, you know, like I had to humble myself. When I got to power school, that's where things changed for me. And that's where I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it. And that's because I had a Master Chief. And I mean, I reached out to him when I picked up, actually 2 years later after I picked up Chief. And I said, you provided this life for me and my family. You are the one that pushed me, kicked me in the rear end, and provided me this life. And because he literally stood right over my shoulder when I was taking a test in A school and said, I am not going to let you fail.
Wow.
If it's the last thing I do, you are going to be a nuke in the Navy. I still remember it. He had these piercing blue eyes. It looked like Satan was looking at you, but like that was the motivation I needed. And he cared that much. And that's what I'm saying is I have a lot of fellow people that care a lot. And that article hit us to the core. A lot of those staff members that do the right things and, you know, care about their students. I mean, my staff advisor and prototype, he's retired. I mean, he retired, got out of the Navy. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have made it through prototype. I had multiple people. And those are the stories that you don't get out there. You always get the negative in the press.
Right.
And then
as parents, as you know, we mentioned before, Cody's in A school and he called and said, hey, my first test, I got a 2.45 or whatever. And now he has upgrades. And I'm thinking upgrades like extra liberty or like a better room. No. And he was like, no, Mom, I have to study more. And I was like, oh, but they care.
They do. I mean, right now it's no secret that military recruiting is hurting for people. And even in 07, when a sailor failed a test or something like that, it was the mindset, oh, we got to make this like, and again, my words, not the Navy's, we got to make this more painful and we got to give them extra study hours. Well, when I went down there just recently, a few months ago, they're capped at a certain amount of study hours and they're making them useful study hours. Hey, you need to do a couple hours with the staff down there because if you go to Penn State or you go to a higher level university, the professor doesn't care. It's no. It's a quite opposite in the Naval Nuclear Power Pipeline is that the teachers actually give a lot of F's about what you and your success. They need you.
You know, Brian, that's awesome how you bring that up because they're getting the same damn education they would get at MIT for the most part, right? I mean, it's a curriculum
very similar. Admiral Rickover created the curriculum. And there's a lot of, we adapted MIT's curriculum. It was all created by Admiral Rickover. And Admiral Rickover created the first commercial nuclear power plant. And for us in Pittsburgh, it's only 45 minutes from us.
Right.
Shippingport, PA. Yep. So the Navy has touched not only civilian, but it's also touched, you know, naval superiority for the United States. And it all comes from one man, Admiral Rickover. Jamie knows. I call him my grandfather, but no relation.
Yeah. No, you know, that's interesting that you brought up Penn State because, you know, when you say the professor doesn't care, that's the difference of we got your money or we're pouring money into you. And that's the difference of a civilian education and Navy's education, right? We're pouring so much money into these kids, it's like around $200,000 to train them up. Right. Yeah. So they want them to pass. Right. They're pouring their time into them. It's an investment versus going to a civilian college who says, OK, you pay us and I don't care if you pass or not. I got your money.
That's different.
I mean, with the way that I saw down there when I went to Charleston and the advances and the money that they put into the training and the students and, of course, when you're a brand new E3 in the Navy, been in the Navy since breakfast, all you did is went to RTC. You're not going to see it. Like you're not going to see the evolution of what was before you and what is now. And quite literally, the way that they upgraded and they renovated that Charleston prototype is every student has the ability to pass and, you know, basically succeed, because there's so many different things that they can do down there. There's computer-aided trainers that literally is a first-person shooter, but first-person operator for the Navy. Like, literally looks like Call of Duty, but Navy nuke style, where you're starting up a propulsion plant. I was like, if I would have had that, like, sweet, cool. Like, we're trying to reach them at the level, because a lot of things that people don't realize is that everybody has a different learning style. Like, Jamie, your learning style may be, I read a book and I educate myself and I can do it self-paced. Like, myself, I can only do it. I got to do it. I got to physically do it, which mm-hmm. A-School and Power School, that's hard because you have limited things. You can't just say, hey, let's go start up a reactor today and that will teach you everything. I got to teach you basics, right, fundamentals, and go everything, like, go through every step like that. We got to have some kind of, you know, foundation for you to actually do that, you know, operation. And that was hard because it was doing that reading the book. But having other people explain it and having that audible, you know, that extra assistant with the night duty instructor.
Yeah.
Oh, easy day. Easy day. I mean, yeah, I had to humble myself. I had to take it upon myself to go and speak to these people. And there were people. I'd look in the room and be like, oh, that's Lieutenant Bonkowitz. I do not want to learn from him because I don't understand him. Like, I don't understand the way that he teaches. But I could see Chief Sanders and then be like, oh, yeah, Chief Sanders is the man. He can make it happen. You know, he explains it to me because I literally learned most of the reactor principles when it was put into an analogy of football. Big football guy. Go Browns.
Right. Browns.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, so like the neutron is like the quarterback and he's going to throw it to the receiver. But then a linebacker smacks the receiver and the fumble comes out. That's the chain reaction. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. Oh. But wow. I had to go do that. I had right. I had to seek that out on myself. And where they didn't teach you that, now they have those military life coaches and those student advisors and all those different programs down there in A-School, Power School, to actually help the student learn.
So I got a couple points to make. You said that you left. When'd you leave Nuke School prototype, and when did you leave Charleston the first time? What year?
So I'm one of the relics out there that went to SHG prototype up in Ballston Spa, New York. So I left. Ooh, when did I leave? I left in March of 08. I left the schoolhouse, so A School Power School, in March of 08.
So you went and you went back recently, right?
I went back recently. Now this was 2022.
Was your mind blown? Was it that extravagant of a change?
So we had all the nukes and recruiting got to go to Charleston and see everything. And I mean, I dang near dislocated my jaw when it hit the floor.
Wow. That's amazing.
When we went to prototype, like I was blown away. And I mean, I'm talking to a good friend of mine that was on my first ship. And he was like, yeah, dude, like, this is all the stuff that we do here. And I was just like, this is some next level stuff. It's like Walt Disney World down here.
Wow. And then I want to make another point. You talk about military life coaches they have now and all these
resources.
Services and resources they have to help out students. And I think that's great on the nuke thing. Because I remember, like, my school, AECF, it was a tough school. So I think at the time it had a 50-60% drop rate. You just, if you failed a test, you went and got your ass chewed and sit you long. And you talked about the extra study hours they give you, but it means something now. It's actually geared to help you. Now, back in the day, and you might have had the same experience even in 2007, if you went to extra study, it was there as a check in a box for the school. Not that they really gave a shit. They didn't, like, I was an ET. Yeah. They would have FCs over there sitting. Or back in the day when they had DSs, a DS would be sitting in there. They can't help me with what I needed help with. So I was just basically just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just as confused as I was before I went in there because there was nobody there.
And it's not that way. That portion of the pipeline has never changed for us. If you're in mechanic, so MMA school, you're getting taught by machinist mates. people that have done this for greater than 10 years in most cases. They know, they've operated, they've intimately dug into tech manuals, other things like that. These are the experts. They've kept ships and submarines on the line, on the waterfront, operating, gone through multiple things. They know what they're talking about. So you're going to somebody with a plethora of experience. Same thing with ETs. When you break out into ETA school, you're being taught by ETs. Me being an electrician, God's chosen rate.
It's right here.
My word's not the Navy. Like all of my instructors were all electricians. Like they had, when we're discussing motor theory and things like that, like they've operated motors that we're learning about. So it's kind of like one of those things where you're getting taught. That extra study has never changed. But now the difference is we're more intrusive with the students, is like, where can we help? It's not, I failed the test, I'm going to go, it's going to be, hey man, what's going on?
Yeah.
What is there something else going on in your life? Mm-hmm. Like what is going on? And they have, I mean, I was blown away when they said in A school, power school, that they even do rollbacks. Like they roll people back and give them an opportunity to retest and other things like that, so that it's not a 1-point failure of, you know, hey, you really mess this up and you're done.
Yeah.
Right.
That, I mean, this information that you're giving us right now, Brian, is so important, because not only does the civilian population not really understand the nuclear field and what nukes go through, but even our own sailors don't understand what it's all about. And I'll give an example, and I'm not usually shining a bad light on the Navy, but when Cody was going through recruit training, some of his instructors said all of these stereotypes that we're dispelling right now, they said those to him, like, oh, they have a high suicide rate, the mental health, you're going to wash out. All of this stuff was told to him. So when he graduated RTC, he was already defeated before he even got to Charleston. It's important that we share this information with our sailors.
Definitely. I mean, because it's a great opportunity for people, especially if they can't afford college.
Yeah.
Because they can go get this, and you know, say, serve their country, which there's a lot worse things you can do. And then they get to education to boot. And you know, what if they just make 6 years out of it? Because that's usually the enlistment for Nuke, 6 years. And they decide to do their own thing and get out. They got this education, and it's a marketable education and practical application they can use on the outside world, where they're not relying on mommy and daddy when they get out. They can get out and get a job and get paid probably more than mommy and daddy.
I mean, And you actually hit the nail on the head with what nukes do. Most nukes, I mean, I see nukes all the time get out. And I mean, I make a good living right now.
Yeah.
But a lot of my former people that were that I worked with, and I got the privilege to lead through, you know, deployments and everything like that, they're like, hey, man, you really helped me out, really taught me a lot. And, you know, now I'm making a good living for myself. And they're all over the place. Like, you will find more Navy nukes in fields that you have. You'll be like, wow, I never knew that was even possible.
Well, so I mean, definitely. I know I was a chief at one time, and yeah, the living is good. But I know some nukes that are living a lot better than I did as a chief, senior chief.
Yeah, we're talking six-figure income.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, not just the low six figures. I'm talking about like middle to high six figures. You know, they're doing well for themselves. Yeah, so that is a good opportunity for kids that have the aptitude to do this. And I think it's sad that the haters out there are scaring them.
The misinformed. Maybe they're not haters, but no, they are misinformed.
I think they're drinking that hater aid.
Well, they just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I mean, like I'll say, you know, just one life anywhere is too many lives. But you can't always just point the finger at one single entity and then throw random figures like with, oh, there's people on this ship and, oh, there's nukes on there. So obviously they were nukes. Like, don't do that. Like, respect the families of the people that lost children, loved ones, whatever the case is, because, you know, they're trying to figure it out. Like, right. What else is going on in somebody's life? That's the thing that we have to get to the bottom of.
You know, suicide is one of the most terrible things I can think of right now. That's a terrible way to go. It's a terrible on the family that gets left behind. But I don't think that it's a certain job. I don't think nukes cause. I've known all rates, a lot of people in different rates or different jobs that aren't even in the military commit suicide. I just don't think we should pigeonhole it on one particular thing that caused it, right?
Right. Right. I mean, there's, like, I will always tell anybody, being a nuke is hard. It's challenging. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's very challenging because you are responsible for such a large portion of the ship. If the ship doesn't get underway and it's a engineering thing, it's a big deal.
Oh, I remember. That's how CEOs don't make Admiral.
That's right. That's right.
Sure. Yeah.
So
wow,
I knew a CEO that didn't make Admiral because I thought it was sabotage. It was rumors that it was sabotage because somebody didn't want to get underway, but it was in the nuclear department. I don't know how true that is, but all right, we had a badass captain, awesome guy, and he retired at 06 because which is a lot worse things you can do to retire at 06, but he never made Admiral because of that incident, a lot of people say.
Well, and that I would tell you from experience, there's many a times where you're sitting there going, okay, we want to get the ship underway and something breaks. Well, there is a lot of things that go into fixing something as simple as a circuit card.
Definitely.
You got to set certain conditions and that takes time. And I don't think because of the confidentiality of most of our material, all of it, a lot of people don't understand it. And the CEOs go through power school. Every CEO of an aircraft carrier goes through power school and they get certified. I mean, they're the ones that sit our final board. So they get the whole NR blessing to be able to go and have the keys to the aircraft carrier. Yeah. But honestly, like, you know, unless you're that technician on the deck plates, you don't know how long that's going to take. And you may think you have the right answer with anything in life. Same thing applies in the nuke world. Hey, I think I know the right answer. It turns out it's 10 layers deep. We got to go solder in something else on a circuit card. And oh boy, you don't do that in 5 minutes.
Right. And then you go to a sub and deal with sub safe. And that's a whole other nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know anything about that. I was not a bubblehead.
I tell you what, I was on a sub tender. And
oh boy.
It was the amount of quality assurance that went involved with anything on a sub was blow your mind up. It was just mind blown. Like, oh my God. It was just how they get anything done. But I understand why they do it. I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's written in blood, right? But it's crazy. Anything sub safe is it's a pain in the ass. But there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I thank you for coming on. And I know a lot of people are still kind of apprehensive about the nuclear life and stuff like that, especially when it comes to safety. So I wanted to kind of touch on that just a little bit because you talk about subsafe and, you know, the reactors, but that's one of the main things I hear as a recruiter that they're like, is it safe? And go ahead, Brian, tell us
about safety. So safety in the nuke world is absolutely paramount. There's not a time where you ever do anything without at least 3 or 4 layers of supervision. Everything is reviewed. Every small detail in the new community is scrutinized so that we uphold the safety of all of our members. That is an actual fact. I mean, a flight attendant, everybody talks about the radiation, growing 3 arms, everything like that. Yeah. Our levels of radiation that we receive are way less than the they're about 10 times less than the national average for anything. Like, the thing that people don't understand about radiation is radiation's everywhere. We all carry a data transmitting device in our pocket that gives us radiation. We all eat these beautiful, delicious fruits called bananas. They have radiation in them. You're getting radiation everywhere you go. You go out in the sun, radiation. I got less radiation working right next to a critical reactor than you would have somebody working on the flight deck that was exposed to the sun for 12 hours a day. Radar, people like that. And the Navy does a really good job of safety. Now, do incidents happen? Yeah. I mean, you can be careless and do things like that's the human element. And there's no way of removing the human element to anything that we do.
True.
So as far as safety in the nuke program, it's harped on so much. You have supervisors on everything that you do. Nobody does anything alone. Very rarely will you ever, other than starting like a fan unit or something like that, ever do anything alone. And that's the kind of cool part that nobody talks about, is that camaraderie in the nuke world. And the fact that you have college educated junior officers that are watching a 20 year old start up a reactor or start up a piece of equipment, a multi-million dollar piece of equipment that has inherent dangers, but it's so overly engineered and so tested and has such a high level of safety built in there that it's safe for that person that's 20 years old to actually operate it.
Yeah, obviously, if you know anything about the Navy nuclear world, you know that is probably 10 or 20 times safer than the civilian nuclear world.
Yeah. We are the gold standard.
Yeah, that's true. That's the gold standard. I've always been told. Yeah, from every leader in the Navy nuclear world that I've ever met, which is quite a few. I was on an aircraft carrier, a nuclear carrier. So they said, we are safe. We are as safe as you can be. Even back in the day when safety wasn't a big thing, they were super safe. And that's the standard.
That's one of the things, is that we have multiple inspection teams of people that provide a third party view of, hey, they dig into everything. When these inspection teams come out, they dig into everything. And a lot of people view it as a negative thing. Like, who's looking at my stuff right now? Oh gosh, here's Big Brother coming to look at us. But as I've matured, because I did that. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I did too. I hated
the inspection teams, but yeah. Hey, they come on board and they're looking to make sure that we're doing everything by the book, because everything is encased in text and print, and sometimes you could overlook it. But having that third party come in and look at it and give you the blessing, give you the grades, give you the actual action plan to improve, like, hey, you guys need to improve in this area. And then that's your next thing that you want to show them, like, hey, we're improving in this area. And we keep doing that. We keep holding our standards high because, people's lives and the country's national security depends on it.
Definitely. And y'all had that inspection called ORS.
ORS, yes. It always gets better after ORS.
It is a pain in the ass. They have 1,000 drills. I remember that on the carrier. You guys were, the nukes were, they were not living the dream that day.
I mean, and that's all a party of respect. I mean, do I like it? But as time grew on, I was like, I'm going to show these people that we're the best ship on the waterfront.
Right. After your first couple. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, the first couple, you like have no idea what's going on. You're like, okay, what to expect? And then afterwards you're like, okay, we're going to get tested in multiple different areas. And that's the part that public generally doesn't know about nukes, is that we're in a civilian power plant. You have operators, you have maintainers, and you have trainers. Yeah. This is the one and only program that you do all three. Yeah. You do all three as a nuke. You're responsible for it at all times. Like, you may be maintaining something, but you're also in charge of operating. Yeah. And everybody's getting weekly training. When that ORS team comes on, it's your time to shine.
Right.
That's where, like, it's not Big Brother coming in to make sure, like, point a finger and doing the you effing guys speech. It's, let's show them that we do it right. Let's show them that we're awesome, because it's the only place in the world that you can get an average grade and you're pumped about being average.
Yeah. And a blessing. It is a blessing that you maintain the same equipment you operate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never had that. Usually the stuff we maintain, we didn't operate it. So you're like, what did that dumbass do to this to break
it? Yeah. Usually air traffic controllers.
Right? Yeah. No, they're the worst. They think their techs.
Oh boy. Put the paper
clip.
I turned it off.
I turned it back on. It doesn't work. Can you get a little?
What did you really do? You dumped a whole can of Monster in that equipment. Don't lie.
Ah, Monster fuels everything. Yeah. Fuels everything.
But I want to ask you before we go, if you had a mother in front of you that their kid wanted to go nuke, what would you tell her?
That's a heavy question. If I had a mother in front of me that wanted to go nuke.
Her kid wanted to go nuke, and she was apprehensive because she heard
all of these things.
She read Reddit like a day before.
I would tell her something like this is communication. Communication is key. Don't ask what's going on. Don't ask how hard it is. Don't put those thoughts in it. Breathe that positivity back into your child and tell them to reach out. Tell them to humble themselves and ask for help. Because everybody that wears 3 chevrons or an anchor and star, 2 stars, whatever the case may be, everybody is navy blue there. And everybody cares just as much about your success, your child's success, as you do. They are their brothers and sisters now. Because the Navy is always a family. It always has been. It always will be. And moving, you know, till the dawn, like to the end of time, from the dawn of time to end of time, the Navy has always been a family. We've always had mentors, big brothers, big sisters, whatever the case may be. Tell them to go and reach out for that help. And it will be there.
I love it. No, we spent a little time with Brian, and he laid down the law. He's squashing some rumors, and I appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
And with that, we wish you fair winds.
And following seas. Hey,